Seems to be ready. Are you ready?
Like the roar of an ecstatic audience or the hushed silence of a near-perfect performance, fragments of fact and fantasy, soliloquies and spotlights, empty bottles and sore heads. So are the gigs of our lives.
One angry hot morning in 2014, I was driving the Prince's Highway from Port Fairy to Melbourne. I was editing a magazine at the time, the wonderful Great Ocean Quarterly, our love song to the ocean that was sending us broke fast. And that day I had to take care of one of our expensive follies, a project called the Church of the Open Sky. The idea was we took a musician and put them in a sacred space of some kind along the coast, preferably something crumbling, and recorded a song. We'd photograph the session, write it up, and offer a free download of the recording. Nice in theory. In practice, I knew next to nothing about audio production and even less about musicians who like to play songs in busted-ass churches on the coast for magazines on a rapid slide to insolvency. It's fair to say I was offering a niche gig. I had a church, a lonely chapel in a paddock outside Modawari, population 41. The farmer was using it to store hay. It was deeply gothic, like Cormac McCarthy wrote it as the scene for a murder. But what I didn't have was a musician. I called a friend who ran a pub. He put me onto an agent. The agent listened to the brief and said, without hesitation, "You want Marlon Williams." I was in no position to argue. I picked the kid up at Mick Thomas's pub in Abbotsford. Lean and rangy, t-shirt, guitar in a battered case. He said nothing, nothing at the pub, nothing in the car as we sweltered in traffic on the Westgate. Nothing. I could tell he was a purist, so I was too scared to put music on to break the crippling silence. He was 21, studied classical singing and Russian at Canterbury University and was an expert on Robert Johnson. I was 44 and, God, have you heard of Noiseworks? At the church, I watched him unpack his guitar among the hay bales. I heard a rattle. "Mate, I think you've dropped a plectrum inside the guitar." He looked at me with infinite pity. "That," he said, "is a piece of Joe Strummer's t-shirt and my best friend's ashes." Which was the exact moment I knew we had the right guy. Marlon opened his mouth and out came a voice that sounded like a choir of angels doused in whiskey having multiple simultaneous orgasms. He sang a song about seafarers and lost love that was so sad I wept and forgot to turn on the recorder, so we had to do it again. This was what I didn't know about the song on that day. It was written in 1974 by a Canadian named Bob Carpenter. Carpenter came achingly close to living out the Rodriguez fairy tale. In the early 70s, people like Emmylou Harris, Billy Joe Shaver and others queued up to record his songs. He picked up a record deal with Warner just as folk music hit a groundswell. But contract strife delayed the launch of his masterpiece debut album. That first pressing was pulped, and Carpenter became a recluse, first painting houses, then studying to become a Buddhist monk. When the album came out, Carpenter was dying of a brain tumour. He completed his monk's vows despite having lost the power of speech by squeezing a friend's hand. He died in Canada in 1995. Marlon's gone on to release acclaimed albums, tour as a headline act and support everyone from the Vienna Boys Choir to Justin Townes Earle. He's no doubt forgotten us, but Marlon gave me something I'll cherish forever. Silent Passage.